and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Triumph unfolds, he's never failing. Song we just sang was like super pivotal for me. About 7 months ago, I went through this huge transition in my life, and I talked about it in front of all y'all and that stuff. And it's really hard to not feel like I'm great. It's hard to not be on top of your game. Maybe just for me, I don't know, but I think a lot of people feel that way. And culturally, we're on top, and there's a lot of people that don't feel good. They don't feel great. They don't feel like they matter. there's a responsibility to those that do have something to give to people that don't have something. And a lot of times, it's easy to think about accumulating and building up for me, because like at some point I have to retire and I have to think about my finances and I have to put it all together for my family so we can be comfortable. And there's a whole swath of people that don't get to have that mindset whatsoever. And this song is about giving away the structure that I'm accustomed to, whether physically with giving something away or with making myself less proud and less important in order to give that to someone that doesn't feel proud and important. And that's extremely hard to do, because we can talk ourselves into we don't have, we don't have, we don't have, and really we do. So if you can, just if you want to, if you're comfortable, put your eyes on a need during this song that's not you. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a moment just to kind of shed my needs and think about other people's needs.
I could chase after greatness, first to fall on my knees, lose myself to be found where you want me. And I could do all the right things, sing the words till they bleed, but I know it's just noise if I don't have love. So I won't waste my breath if it's not for love. I don't have the heart if it's not for love. It counts no cost, 'cause there's no fear in love, but there is a cross. I could speak like the angels, prophesy knowing all. I could live with the faith to move mountains. Should I die like a martyr, give my wealth to the poor, it would all scream loud nothing if I don't have love. So I won't waste my breath if it's not for love. I don't have the heart if it's not for love. So let me say it's faith if it counts no cost, 'cause there's no fear in love, but there is a cross. Trust without keeping.
Tend to go really, really, really quickly, and I want to absorb a whole book in one day. But with paradigm shifting, life changing principles, you can't do that. These things take time to grow roots in you so that you can become the truth that it is and the love that it is and be able to walk through your day with unconditional love for yourself and for other people. So this entire week, I want to share with you what I can't take my heart away from. And I didn't realize when I was reading this that we were singing these songs this morning. And I almost just can't even today. I just can't. So I'm just going to share it with you. If you need to close your eyes. Think about if there's something that you're holding on to today that you don't have to hold on to. Whenever there is fear, there has been the absence of love. For fear is the opposite of love. So wherever there is fear, you can be sure you're not in truth, and most likely what you fear is not real, but illusion. For you are not centered, you're not within the wholeness of your being when you are afraid. When you take courage to step into that fear, you begin the healing process on a new level. It's not a matter of destroying fear, but of knowing its nature and of seeing it as a less powerful force than the power of love. It is illusion. Fear is only looking in the mirror and making faces at oneself. God never said to understand me. He said, trust me. Final lesson for each soul is the total surrender to God's will manifest in your heart. I love, 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 love this song, but I wish this pre-chorus, I wish we sang it more than one time. It says, so I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So can you let that thing go today? Can you let the presence of God break down your walls? Can you let surrender take root in your life? And when we sing, make me a vessel, it's not a pleading to God that we're not good enough as we are already. You are perfect. You were made perfect. When we sing, make me a vessel, it's because we are stepping in that total surrender. And we are happy to be this vessel to carry this love into the world. So can you let it go this morning? Throw your hands up this morning. Walk, pace around this morning in thankfulness and gratefulness, appreciation and praise that you are already perfect. And there are a lot of opinions and definitions of fear. But if we can step into whatever it is you're afraid of this morning and just trust the will of God and surrender your heart to it, your life will change forever. promises. I thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. And that we can sing this song in a place of total surrender to you, Father, so that we can experience your grace, your unmerited favor on us. For you created us in your image. So we are love and we are light. And there's no mountain that cannot be moved. So let's sing it in the crushing. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new life. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. So step into this new power today. Sing, make me your vessel. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Sing it again, Jesus. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Total surrender. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, Jesus.
I don't know if you know it or not, but that's why you're here today. You're here to get new wine out of you, right? Good. That's good. I want to pray a prayer that God gave me a week before last. It's a prayer that I'm going to pray probably every week, maybe for the rest of my life. It is something that just in a moment of study and prayer, at a table I study at home, I started praying and this poured out. Father, let me preach with passion and power and purpose. Let us leave here today with renewed passion, renewed power, and renewed purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a series called Intentional. Intentional is a strong word. You've heard it said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's not true. The road to hell is paved with no intentions. Most people live haphazard lives. They don't get up every day with an intention to live a certain way, to hear certain things, to be a certain way. They just get up and let life happen to them. You see, happy comes from happenings. If you depend on your happiness for the things that happen in your life, then there's a good possibility that you won't be happy. But if you base your joy and your happiness on the right things, then it will always be there because the joy of the Lord is your strength. and that the blessed person is a person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, and he'll give forth his fruit in his seasons, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, because he purposely decides to live an intentional life. Now, the purpose of this series is this: to move us into a spiritual realm of connection with God. Say connection with God. Where healings and miracles and divine wisdom are genuine possibilities. Wow, that's a good purpose. We're not doing this series just because it's Sunday morning and you're supposed to have a message. We're not doing this for no, it's a reason behind this. And it's to move us into this spiritual realm of connection with God, where healings and miracles and this divine wisdom from God are genuine possibilities every single day of my life. That because I'm intentional about it. Jesus said that a man who intends to build a tower, he's first going to sit down and count the cost. He's going to make sure that he has enough material to build this tower. Now, the tower in Luke that he's talking about is a vineyard tower. There were towers that were built that men would sit in, and they would watch after things that might come to the vineyard that would do it harm. They would watch out for the locusts. They would watch out for anything that might come that would cause the vineyard not to bear the fruit, so that the new wine could come up every day. Okay? So he had to, he said, he who intends to build a tower, make sure he's got the material. He says, Jesus said, the man who intendeth to go to war, he makes sure he's got enough men to fight that war. Because it's silly to go into a battle if you don't think you're going to win. It's very foolish to go into a battle that you don't expect to win. I played a lot of sports coming up. I never went to a game intending not to win. That's silly. That takes all the sport out of it. That takes all the fun out of it. I don't go to a ball game not intending to win. Because the ones who go in there with an intention to win have a genuine possibility that they can win. Even someone who might not even have all the exact skills that the other team has, if they've got the passion for it, they got a genuine possibility to win. I'm telling you what's wrong with life, what's wrong with people, what's wrong in the world today is people lose their passion. When you lose your passion, you lose your power and you lose your purpose. Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of diseases. You know why? Because he was moved with compassion. When he looked at the multitudes, he says he was moved with compassion. He didn't see them the way everybody else saw them. He saw them as hurting, bleeding, ravished people who needed him. And so he was passionate about it. When you lose your passion for marriage, you will lose your marriage. When you lose passion for your church, you'll lose your life. When you lose your passion for anything, you see, the Bible says, he who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall what? Be filled. Did you know that you can fast for a day and you'll be very hungry the next day? But if you go long enough without food, you'll lose the hunger pains for food. You can go to third world countries and you find little children and people who are not hungry, but they're malnutrition. They are just pitiful looking skin and bones because they've lost their hunger. And people lose their hunger for God when they stay away long enough, the hunger pains go away. And then before you know it, you're not even hungry and thirsty anymore. Did you know that this world is held together by its intended purpose? Everything is held together by its intended purpose. God created Adam and Eve, and he said, God created man in his own likeness and his own image, and he blessed them, and he said, let's be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. That's your purpose on earth. Now, we got the multiplication thing down. I think we got that down because everybody enjoys the multiplication process. So we got the multiplication thing pretty well down. I mean, you can go to countries where and you see millions and millions of people. We got this multiplication thing down. But the fruitful part of it, I don't know. He also said, be fruitful. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. And what I want to share with you this morning is three questions that got to be answered. How do I do it? When do I do it? And why do I do it? Those three words are three questions that every single day in life, it is, how do I do it? When do I do it? Why do I do it? You're raising your kids, constantly telling them how, when, why. How many ask this one question to your parents over and over again? Why? Anybody ever said that to mom and dad? Why you want me to, why? Why do I want? You know, it's a real genuine, honest question. And the answer shouldn't be because I say so. That's not a good answer. When I ask God, why do you want me to do this? He doesn't say, because I say so. He gives me a reason of why I do this. And the why I do it is always, always good. Always good for me. Best for me. Better for me. Always. And so I want to bear fruit for a reason, but I got to know how to bear fruit, right? I want to know, how am I going to do this? In John chapter 15, Jesus is at the end of his life. When he gets to John chapter 13, he starts preparing his disciples for his departure. He starts telling his disciples where he's going, why he's going, and when he's coming back. He was answering all those questions in these chapters in the last part of St. John. He's telling them why I'm going, when I'm going, reason I'm going, how I'm going, and what's going to happen after I'm going. And I'm going to send somebody back to you, though, called the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to leave you. He's going to make you fruitful here on this planet. And so he washes their feet in chapter 13. He tells them where he's going in chapter 14. And he tells them how he's going to leave them here in chapter 15. He says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me. And I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as Father has loved me. Remain in my love when you obey my commandments. You remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. 10 times in 10 verses, He says, remain, 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 remain. Or another translation says, abide, 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 abide. Remain, abide. If you remain and abide, you will bear fruit. How do I do this? First of all, let me tell you something about a vine, a grapevine plant. It requires a lot of attention. Say this. This is the only time you can say this and it mean well. I need a lot of attention. I need a lot of attention. But you need the right attention. I see some marriages and I'm going, oh man, I'm married to such a wonderful lady who doesn't need a lot of attention. I'm probably married to one of the most low maintenance women on the face of the earth. God bless me with a low maintenance wife that I'm just thrilled about. She is so low maintenance. I can say, I'm going to play golf. Bye. I'm going to do this. Bye. See you when you get back. Low maintenance. But when it comes to a spiritual life, nobody's low maintenance. You can't stay positive in a negative world on your own. You're talking about having to have attention to it, having to attend myself to it. Man, I've got to do it every single day, every single hour, every single moment of my life. I can't go out and be the most enthusiastic person, positive, enthusiastic person on the face of the earth. I can't do that on my own. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So I got to give myself some attention every day. And here's what he says. He says, now, there are branches that just don't bear fruit. In a vine, there are two kind of branches. There's a branch that goes out and bears leaves, but no fruit. And there is a branch that goes out and it bears fruit. But the branch that doesn't bear any fruit, he says, I'm just going to cut that off. Because all it's doing is sapping up nutrients that should go to the one that's bearing fruit. There are things in my life that just doesn't bear fruit. And you know what you need to do? Cut it off. It's just baggage. Just get rid of it. We're going to talk about something else in a moment. Let me talk about this for a moment. There are things in the natural that's going to be cut out of your life if it's not bearing fruit. It's naturally going to happen. A marriage, over 50% of marriages end in divorce still in America. You know why? Because they're not bearing fruit. And they're cut off. A woman wakes up one day and says, I've had enough. A man wakes up one day and says, I've had enough. And the next thing you know, they're gone. Why? There's no fruit. And they're not going to remain in something that's not bearing fruit. If I'm in a counseling session with a couple and one of them's having an affair, I will refuse to counsel them until that affair is cut off. Because that affair is draining that relationship. And it has to be just cut off. You can't discipline it. You can't wean yourself off of it. It's got to be severed. Immediately severed. And if it's not, that marriage will be severed. It will be cut off. It'll happen. And then there are the ones that's bearing fruit. He says, I'll prune it. I'll cut back. I'll cut it back so that it can bear more fruit. And I started last Monday on a mission to get healthy. And I found out, Joy, it was more than just a decision. I mean, Sunday, I had my last splurge. Oh, you know, tomorrow morning, I'm starting. You know, so Sunday, I just, whatever I wanted to eat, I ate. How much I wanted to eat, I ate. What I wanted to do, I did. But Monday morning came. You know, heard then come Sunday. I love that one, but then come Monday. Then I got up Monday morning and said, then come Monday. Oh, I had good intentions. I found out Monday morning how much intentions I really had. So I started. But you know what I found out as Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday came? There were things I had to keep cutting back. I couldn't cut them off. They didn't need to be cut off. They need to be trimmed up a little bit so I could get trimmed up a little bit. That's the purpose of the trimming, so I could be trimmed so that my clothes fit more comfortable, right? So I found out that I had to prune. Also, pruning has to do not just with cutting back, but you prune a vine branch by washing it. Washing it. They would go carefully and wash off insects and wash off things on the vine that would hinder it from producing more fruit. How many know we all need washing? Dave and I roomed together the other week on our fishing trip, and it was kind of pandemonium. We got there, and the rooms weren't ready, and finally the rooms got ready, and so David and I got to our room, and everything was clean. The bed was clean, the bathroom, but they hadn't cleaned the floor. And so the lady said, you know, well, we got to come in and clean the floor. And I said, nah, just knock $50 off. I was just teasing. Let's just knock $50 off the room. She said, okay. So she knocked $50 off the room. I thought, well, that's great, till I got barefooted. Wasn't carpet. It was this tile floor. And every step I took, grit, grind. I mean, I looked at my foot, and it was solid black. I mean, it was, yeah, I give you $50 more if you come back. And so when I was a little boy, I was raised Pentecostal. We had foot washings. We washed each other's feet. See, and it was always, most of the time, a New Year's Eve service. Well, when I was a little boy, instead of out partying and have a good time on New Year's Eve, I was washing some old man's feet. Daddy, you go into a foot wash. So you sat down, you get this tub of water and towel, and a man sits there, and he takes his shoes and his socks off and rolls up his britcher leg, and you sat there and looked at that old man's foot. And I'm 10 years old washing this old man's foot. Think, why? Why am I doing this? And so they had a reason for it. I'm not condemning it. Maybe some of you need to wash somebody's feet sometime. But Jesus washed his disciples' feet, but he didn't wash them for the reasons that we washed them for. He washed them to let them know, what's the purpose of keeping your walk with me clean? I want to show you how to keep your walk clean. You see, back then they walked the dusty roads in their sandals. And when they came into a house, it was appropriate to have a basin of water there and a towel to wash the person's feet. It refreshed them. They didn't need a shower. They didn't need a whole bath. So Jesus is going to wash his disciples' feet, and he comes to Peter. Peter said, you're not washing my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Peter says, well, wash my head, my hands, wash my whole body, because I want a part with you. And Jesus said, you don't need everything. You don't need a whole bath, because you've been cleansed. You just need to wash your feet. You see, what happens on Sunday morning, Paul told Timothy, he says, till I come, Timothy, give yourself to reading, to teaching, and to preaching the word of God. Give yourself wholly to it, for in so doing you shall both save yourself and those who hear you. In other words, you're getting a foot washing right now. Spiritual wash is happening right now. As you, he says, you're cleansed by the word. He has sanctified them by thy word. Thy word is truth. He said in Ephesians chapter 5 that he would cleanse you by the washing of his word. The word washes me. How many like a good shower, good wash? Doesn't it make you just refresh you? It refreshes you. Sometimes just to wash your face off refreshes you. Some people are so stinking because they forgot what a good clean bath is all about. Some people's spirit has gotten so dirty that they become so accustomed to it that they don't know what a good spiritual bath and cleansing really does for them. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and is powerful, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and of the intent of the heart. Amplified Version says it's exposing and sifting and analyzing the very thoughts and purposes of your hearts. It keeps things in order in your life. It separates what's flesh and what's spirit, what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. It keeps it separated. It's quick, it's alive, it's penetrating, it's effective. It's effective. In the Old Testament, a prophet named Elisha, who prayed for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, and he got it. He did twice the miracles that Elijah did. He did awesome things for the Israelites, and he died. And they buried him in a grave. And years later, they're in the fields, and there's a band of raiders coming in, and a soldier gets killed, and they didn't have time to dig a grave for that soldier. So the Bible says they just threw him into Elisha's grave. And when he hit Elisha's bones, he came alive. My daddy used to say, Elisha had more power in his dead bones than we have in our live bodies. Where did that power come from? Come on. Do you believe the story? Do you believe God put that in there for just no reason whatsoever? Is he trying to tell us that his word is that living and that powerful that it... How many know that we do bone transplants, marrow transplants now to heal diseases? If we can do that in the natural, what can we do in the spiritual? What can we do in the spiritual body? It's a washing. It's a cleansing. That's why Jesus washed his disciples' feet. That's how you bear fruit. When do I bear fruit? In season. Right? How many has gone to a peach farm yet? Gone to a peach farm? Why have you gone? Why didn't you go in January? Huh? Come on, this ain't deep. I'm out of the deep stuff. I'm into the simple part. Why do you go to a peach farm when you go to a peach farm? In season, right? So when do you bear spiritual fruit? So, all right, so when is the season? When is due season? So when do I bear forgiveness? When I need to forgive somebody. Oh, now watch this. You ready? I used to say, Ralph, forgiveness is a choice. I wish it was. It's not a choice. It's a fruit. When it hits you, you got it, you ain't got it. You've been washed By the word, you've been cleansed. By the word, you're bearing fruit of forgiveness. And so when you're hit with it, you don't have to choose to do it. You do it because that's who you are, because you're a fruit-bearing tree. And you just say, go ahead and pick some fruit off of me. I got some forgiveness for you. Go ahead and take it. I need to be kind. I don't choose to be kind. I am kind because I am kind. I show kindness because I am kindness. I am the fruit of kindness. I bear this fruit because I have been prepared and the soil has been worked. I have taken care of it. I've attended to my life. So when it comes against me, I have the ability to stand. I can forgive because I am forgiveness. I can love because I am love. He says, he that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand with sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But he delights in, not under. I'm not under the law, I'm in it. I'm in it out of love, not under obligation. Oh, that's good. Wow. Whoa, that is good preaching. Oh, I'm not under obligation. I'm in love with God. I do it in love, not under obligation. I'm not under the law. I'm in it. I am it. I am. I am. Say, I am. Whew. Boy, I knew this was good, but I didn't know it was this good. God. I want to be, and the fruit's not for you. When you went to the peach farm, back to the peach farm, the peach tree didn't take one single bite of its fruit. My fruit is not for me. It's for Barbara. It's for my family. It's for you. Listen, you can't choose to be patient unless you already are. And when you're bearing patience, then when the time comes for you to have patience, guess what? You'll have it. Why? Because I've been growing it. I've been growing it. It's not discipline. I can't discipline myself into patience. I can't do that. I either have it or I don't have it. I got it or I don't got it. It's why what you're doing this morning is preparing your vineyard so that you can give out new wine, so that you can produce good stuff when its due season comes, because it's coming. It's coming. I'm going to let you know. Temptation's coming. But he says, but with every temptation, I'll provide a way of escape. And that's a navigational term. You know how he provides a way of escape? You throw some things overboard. Paul tells them, guys, don't go on this trip. Oh, what, man, look how sunny it is, how beautiful it is, all the white clouds. They didn't have phones back then. See, but when you go, a storm can come up at sea like that. A squall can come up. And we used to go out. Man, it would be so beautiful. And I'm telling you, in that much time, you look and go, oh, gosh. Now we have a phone. And we can pull up a weather and pull up. And we can see the storms wherever they are. And it's so wonderful. I hadn't been capsized since then. It's wonderful to know where the storm is. It's coming. But when it's coming, you're prepared. You're okay. And they went out anyway, and the Bible says they got in this storm, and Paul says, throw some things overboard, and you'll make it through this storm. Sometimes you got to throw some things overboard. But you got to remain into certain things. But why? Okay. How do I do it? By the washing of the word. When do I do it? when I need it, when the season comes, and it's coming, just as winter's coming, it's coming. Paul told Timothy one time, he said, and Paul had John Mark on a missionary journey with him. Things got a little rough, and John Mark got to complaining about the ministry. So Paul looks at John Mark and he says, "You're no good." I don't know about you, but if Apostle Paul said to me, "I'm no good," that would mean I'd carry a lot of weight. I've had people tell me I'm no good, didn't mean a thing to me. They have no influence. Who they are, that don't mean nothing. Your words carry no weight with me whatsoever. But if Dusty or Barbara or Joe had said to me, "You're no good," another translation says, "You're a slacker." You're a slacker. And so Barnabas, son of encouragement, takes John Mark and says, "Come on with me." And he stays with Barnabas, and John Mark spend this time together, and Barnabas cleanses John Mark and he gets strengthened. And Paul, in his dying breath almost, says, "Send me the parchments. I'm in prison. Send me a cloak. It's cold. And bring John Mark with you. He's profitable for me in the ministry." Because somebody took the time to clean him up. And then Paul said, "You're profitable for me." How do I do it? When do I do it? But the biggest question I want to know, Will, is why I'm going to do it. Why? Because I'm telling you, if the question why is not answered to my, if I ain't got a reason why, I'm not going to do it. Because the reason why means everything. Why, God, am I going to study like this? Why am I going to spend my whole life? Why am I going to do this? Why? So my biggest question to God was when he started calling me was, I didn't want to do this. I had no intentions of doing this. I didn't want to do this. I guess part of it was I grew up in the ministry. I grew up in church. Grew up, my daddy a pastor. Grew up a PK. I didn't want to. I saw what my daddy went through. I saw the struggles. I saw all the. I didn't want to. My uncle was a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. Y'all are not fun. You're not fun. You ain't happy. You're in trouble. You got troubles. People are driving you crazy. You ain't broke. You ain't got no money. Because church years ago, the deacon board was to keep the preacher broke, so keep him humble. That's why we don't have that. Why? And so Jesus now, with days to go, knowing he's about to leave them. Kitty, you can go to the piano. He says, "I've told you how to bear fruit, guys. I told you when to bear fruit. Now I want to tell you why you want to do this." Because if there's not an answer to the why, I don't care about the how. I don't care about the when. You better give me a reason. Why? Why? Dr. Hitson put me on blood pressure medicine years ago. I want to know why. And I said, "I don't want to take this pill the rest of my life. I don't want to." You know what he said? "Well, you're going to die. I mean, it's up to you. Take the pill to die." That kind of woke me up. That's a good why. You know what? I've been taking it for 30-something years now because I know why. There's a reason. But you gotta tell me why. You better tell me why. Why do you want me to do? You better give me a sufficient answer. I'm not doing it. I'm not trying to be ugly or mean. I'm just telling you the facts. I'm not doing anything if there's not a good why to it. I ain't gonna give myself to something if there's not a why to it. If you can't give me a good reason to do it, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not wasting my energy. I'm not wasting my time on something that's not gonna produce in my life something that's good and something that's pure and something that's fruitful. I'm not gonna do it. Why? This is why. He looks at his disciples and he says, I love it. John chapter 15, again reading it, verse 11. I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves. You are my friends. Because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. But now you're my friends. And since I've told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father would give you whatever you ask for using my name. Holy, I almost said something. Holy goodness. Oh, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? So you be joyful, Buren. Why? I'm calling you into this because you're going to be filled with overflowing joy in this. You're going to come a time in your life when you're going to need to ask me for something. And I'll do it. I tease sometimes about calling chips in. If you've been around me much, I use that term. I got some chips to call in from God, and I call them in every now and then. I say that jesting, but I say it in sincerity. Because when Marcia called me years ago, I was on the golf course and said, you need to come home. Your wife just got a terrible report with tumor in her breast, and they're pretty sure it's cancer. Left and went home, and Barbara's sitting on the sofa and she's crying her eyeballs out. And this is what she said: I just want to live long enough to see my grandkids. I called a chip in. I got down on my knees and I grabbed her hand and I prayed like I ain't never prayed before in my life. And I reminded God who I am. I do that. Lord, I'm just going to remind you. Went to surgery, took it out, convinced it was cancer. Doctor looked at it and said, this is cancer. But they cut it open and it wasn't cancer. Because there's come the time in my life I needed to bear some fruit. Prayed a prayer over my grandson one time that it was a scary prayer. Dusty told Chris what I prayed. Chris said, I'm glad I wasn't there. He said, sounds like to me your daddy was mad. He said, he was mad, but he was not mad at God. He was mad at the enemy of this world. I prayed like I ain't never prayed, and it worked. Why? Due season came. It was time for it to happen. Penny Wesley's reminding me over and over and over again, you know, God gave you a prophecy years ago. And you know that all you got to do is ask and it be given. And every now and then, I just have to. Due season comes along. Several years ago, we had no money. I mean, we were broke. I hadn't had a paycheck in 13 weeks. 13 weeks, I didn't get a paycheck. God took care. People showed up at my door, gave me an envelope full of money. 13 weeks. Penny said, at the end of that, Vera, God told you. He reminded me. So I reminded God. I came to church on a Wednesday night, and a widow, says, I have something for you. She came in my office. This was the most unlikely person in the congregation to do this. She gave me a check for $10,000. Said, God told me to give this to the church. $10,000. When? In season. When it was needed. How do I do it? When do I do it? Why do I do it? I'm telling you why now, church. This is why. Because there's going to come a storm. There's going to come a temptation. There's going to come a trial. There's going to come a day when you're just going to have to remain in Him. You're just going to have to remain in Him. And the fruit's going to be there. The season's going to go through. And you're going to look back over it and be able to say, my favorite scripture. And it came to pass. That's my favorite scripture in the Bible. And it came to pass. Almost lost my family, but it came to pass. Almost lost my marriage, but it came to pass. Almost lost the most precious thing in my life, but it came to pass. And I look back at it now, and what I thought was a tragedy was a triumph. What I thought was a mess was a blessing. What I thought would never recover from, I more than recovered. What I thought I'd never conquer, I was more than a conqueror. What I couldn't see, now I see. What I couldn't hear, now I hear. Because it came to pass. You know why I got hope for the future? You know why I believe the best is yet to come? Because I got a pass. And it came to pass. And it gave me hope. And the future's bright. I want you to stand with me, and you're here today. And maybe you're here and you're right in the middle of one of these seasons. But you want to be a fruit bearer. People ask me sometimes, you know, what's my purpose in life? To bear fruit. Next time, Will, somebody comes into the office and says, you know, what's my vision? What's my purpose? Bear fruit. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. You ain't got to seek God for hours and hours and days and months and years trying to find out what you're here for. It's real simple. Bear fruit. Be who you're called to be. That's why. That's what you're here for. You're here so that the person in the grocery store can walk up to you and pick some fruit. Susan Wood was not here this morning, but Susan, years, she couldn't go to the grocery store without ministering down an aisle. Every time she went to the grocery store, somebody got her in the aisle. And you know what she did? She just a tree. She just stood there and they just, go ahead, you can have it. You can pick it. And she'd stand there. A grocery trip for me is about 15 minutes. I look down the aisle, I go the other way. I'm in there to get what I've got and I'm out of there. Susan go down the aisle. She's in the grocery store for two or three hours. You know why? She's just letting some people just pick some fruit. You can have it. I don't eat my own fruit. It's not for me. Lord, a long time ago, God told me, he said, you preach the kingdom, I'll build the church. You build the kingdom, I'll build the church. He said, leave the church to me. And Joe, when I gave the church to him years ago, I hadn't fretted no more. I go to sleep every night just like that, not worrying about the church. It's his. It ain't mine. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. But he did tell me, go preach the kingdom. And one day I was reading, and I thought I knew what the kingdom was, Joe. I really did. I thought I knew what the kingdom of God was. I thought I did. Now, if you'd asked me 30 years ago what it was, I'd tell you. You asked me 30 years ago what the book of Revelation says, I'd tell you. I can't tell you now. I learned this. I can't define the kingdom. I can describe it, though. Whew. I can't define it, but I can describe it. And so I'm reading one day, and every time the Bible say kingdom, you know, people always come to me, Joe, when I get on the kingdom. They say, man, you were born to preach the kingdom. I say, I know. I'm reading in Romans. He says, in the kingdom of God is not what you eat, what you drink. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I was raised Pentecost, and I thought the Holy Ghost was to kick your ribs out. I didn't know he wanted to have fun with me. I didn't know he came to live in me and for he and I to enjoy this wonderful life together. And that he wanted me to be in right standing with people. He wanted me to have peace. Joy. That's why. Why? You want to bear fruit? I want you to come and stand across this front. You say, I haven't been bearing the fruit that I need to bear. Maybe you're in a place where fruit bearing's difficult right now. Let me tell you something. Nothing wrong with the tree. Nothing wrong with the tree. Branches just need a little touch work. Need a little cleansing. Now, you want to be honest with God and honest with yourself, come stand across this front and say, you know, I need a little pruning this morning. I need a little washing. I need a little, I already see some things in my life I just need to cut off. I just need to cut them off. I already see it. I already see some things I just need to cleanse up a little bit. I need to wash. I already see it. This is Sunday. Monday's coming. Monday's coming. Easy to preach it on Sunday morning, but Monday morning's coming. And I gotta walk it out. I gotta walk it out. I'm waiting on a few more. Everybody didn't need to be here, but some more need to be here. God's talking to you. Don't miss your day of visitation. Don't miss your opportunity. It's two words in the Bible for good. There's a word for good that you can do at any time you want to. But there's a word for good that you can only do it at an appropriate time. A woman came in with an alabaster box anointed Jesus' feet. And Jesus said to his disciples, don't criticize her. What she's done is good. And this is the only time she's going to have this opportunity to do it is right now. This is the opportunity you got right now. You're hearing this voice. This is a good moment for you. This is the good time for you to come down. This is the good. This opportunity is going to pass in a moment. This opportunity is not going. It's never ever going to come back. This moment's never coming back. Never coming back. You people know I don't do this often. I'm doing this when I know what I'm doing. This opportunity is not coming back for you. Please come. Take this moment to make this decision. I'm going to decide this day. what I'm going to do. I'm going to make that choice. God, I'm so thankful that you let me preach with passion today and with power and with purpose. And now your word is quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's piercing into dividing of sunder of soul and spirit. It is a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. It's analyzing, it's scrutinizing, it's putting in order. And all these, this, you lost like puzzles just laying over here in a lot of pieces. But the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus know how to put that puzzle together. And the pieces are coming together. Because the Word of God's putting the puzzle together. And when it's together, it's going to be a beautiful picture. It's not ugly. It's not bad. It's good. It's beautiful. Then put the pieces together. It's always a piece missing. But it's always in the proper time put back in place. May not see it or understand it, but he'll take that one missing piece, and that's what's just that one missing piece in your life. He's just putting it in there right now. Right now. He's a God who looks deep into the recesses of our being. And what I found out about him, the things that come out of it, the greatest thing in my life has not been the joy. I love it, but that's not the main thing. The main thing has not been that. The main thing has been he calls me his friend. And he talks to me. And he gives me wisdom of the ages. That's the greatest reason why I do what I do. Because when I need a word of wisdom, he gives it to me. That's everything. That's more important than joy, because it's more important than joy. It's more important than anything in the whole wide world. It's to hear God speak to you as a friend. Not as a slave, as a friend. Noah walked with God. Noah, you're my friend. Build a boat, buddy, because you're going to need it. Why did Noah? God didn't look down and arbitrarily go, I pick him. Noah's walking with him. How many know you tell your friends stuff you don't tell anybody else? You have a friend like that? You'll tell your friend something you won't tell anybody else. That's how you know you got a friend. They'll tell you. And sometimes, oh, I wish you wouldn't tell me that. But they'll tell you anything. They'll fill you in because they're a friend. God says, I'll fill you in. He said to Moses, he said, I'll show my acts to the children of Israel, Moses, but I'll show you my ways. They'll see my miracles. But you'll know who I'm about. You'll know what I'm about. That's more important than anything else. He'll talk to me as a friend. I know I'm belaboring a little bit, but I'm belaboring in the spirit. I want him to talk to me as a friend. More than anything. Because I'm going to tell you a story. I have been pastor for 40-something years. I've had my moments. Me and God weren't walking as friends. I wasn't hearing him like that. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't like that time. But when I get back, and my wife always had that spiritual edge to her. She always let me know. It. By the way, sometimes somebody else has to prune you. That's not. See, she'd come up to me and she'll say, "You lost your edge." My wife would say, "You lost your edge." I said, "What do you mean you lost? You've lost your spiritual edge. You're not preaching and prophesying the way you can. You've lost your spiritual edge." You know what? Ooh, that pruning hurt. Really? For the moment, guess what? Bam! Fruit came. Much fruit. Because I listened. I let somebody else sometimes just do a little clipping. God bless you. You can go be seated. God, I prophesy over these people right now that we didn't come here today for no purpose at all. This band's coming. I want you to sing that new wine song. I know it's a little late, but I want you to sing that. We came here for a reason. Came here to leave here with a renewed passion, a renewed power, and a renewed purpose. That's why we came. Didn't come for no other reason but to be renewed in your passion and in your power and in your purpose so that you can bear much fruit.
Just want to give you a quick little report and update. Pastor and I got to go and visit Larry Green dealing with a neck injury. And he was sitting up doing exercises on his own for the very first time at that point. A true miracle. We found out later that the doctor that had originally seen him in the emergency room called to find out when the funeral services were going to be. That's how severe that he thought it was. And on our way home, Ashley texted us, and she texted you. She said, "Thank you all for coming today. We are seriously overwhelmed by how generous the church has been. Please tell everyone we said thank you for their donations and their prayers." You're making a difference in the lives of people when you give. If you have your connection cards or you brought your offering, hold your connection card up real quick. We make this a priority because it is a priority to us that we communicate, that you communicate with us. It's how you sign up for things. It's how you are able to turn your prayer requests in. We want you to put those in the boxes that are at the doors in the back. Father, Lord, I thank you that we get to come to your house. We thank you for the tithes, the offerings, the alms. We thank you, Lord, for the prayer requests. Father, Lord, we give those all to you. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you'll give us your wisdom, Father, Lord, and the discernment and the use of those. We give you praise, Jesus, as we worship you.
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. In the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. So make me.
Spring.